The Kraken by Alfred Lord Tennyson, 1830. Below the thunders of the upper deep, far, far beneath in the abysmal sea, his ancient, dreamless, uninvaded sleep, the Kraken sleepeth, faintest sunlights flee. About his shadowy sides above him swell huge sponges of millennial growth and height, and far away in the sickly light, from many a wondrous grot and a secret cell, unnumbered and enormous polypi winnow with giant arms the slumbering green. There hath he lain for ages and will lie, battening upon huge sea worms in his sleep, until the latter fire shall heap the deep. Then once by man and angels to be seen, in roaring he shall rise and on the surface die.
Hey, Art Story Whisperers. Hello, and welcome to the spooky and salty waters, where the Whispering Gallery is investigating the art of the Kraken. And in the process, we're diving deep into the stories that have inspired artists throughout the ages. So, how far down is the deep? If you're like us, you may have called it done when jumping off a high dive, trying to touch the bottom of the diving pool, or maybe climbed the diving platform only to climb right back down, feeling a little shaken but grateful to be alive, rather than smashed to bits, landing from such a great height, one belly flop away from your doom.
While the drawing and wash that make up Pierre's colossal octopus piece opens questions like, do octopi even grow that big? And is the Kraken an octopus, a squid, or something else entirely? We'll just keep swimming like Dory did until we circumnavigate these questions.
So come with us as we swim in these strange, inky dark, deep, and unexplored waters, and what interesting art we discover along the way. And actually, I can't say unexplored entirely, because all those videos we've watched of people exploring, even they say it hasn't all been explored yet, so.
It's true. They say that we know less about the ocean than we do about space.
As we start, we can, I guess, survey each other, and we'll see by the end which is biggest, the giant squid of the north, the colossal squid of the Antarctic Ocean, or the Pacific giant octopus. The colossal sounds pretty big, but the octopus, the arm reach is pretty big too. So which one are you voting for?
I don't know. I feel like the colossal, but I don't know. I feel like I'm just biased because of the name, you know?
Yeah.
So I think a colossal, but I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's, for me, kind of a coin toss between the colossal and the octopus. I'm going to have to take some notes down on the length of both of them and, like, the octopus reach of the arms. Mm-hmm. So they all sound pretty enormous, and some of the stuff we saw was just crazy about them, too. So I didn't know if now was the time to talk about the giant, well, I guess that wasn't giant. It was a little octopus on that blue planet, too.
Yeah.
I think it was the episode about the seaweed or kelp.
Yeah.
But you've seen it, right? Now?
No. But that's okay, because I was thinking it would be really cool to mention, I don't know if you have it in here, I may have just missed it, but the video on PBS.
I think it's called Monstrum.
About the octopus that was, like, checkerboard changing.
Yeah, wasn't it a cuttlefish?
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, doing a pretty good job for how little it was.
Yeah, it was, like, it's doing its best.
It was about the size of a hand or something, and it was doing a good job. And they have other stories, too, like the Kraken. Okay, I'll see if I can't find it another time and show it, because it's got tentacles coming through its gills.
That's so cool.
Yeah, definitely. I think they showed one of the Pacific giant octopus that was just kind of a normal size one, though.
The one that was on the rock that he had been following for, like, 45 minutes?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the one that was the rock that all of a sudden, he seriously was a rock?
Yeah.
And he moved?
And he, like, launched off of the rock, and it was insane.
It wasn't like a bunch of the other video in it. It was like, okay, yeah, he's trying. But this one, he nailed it.
This one was like dead on.
And the skin apparently can go bumpy like that. It doesn't just have to change color. It can kind of mimic the surroundings.
Crazy.
Yes.
Crazy.
Okay, so what is the strangest thing you've come across so far in researching the Kraken?
So I think that the craziest thing that I came across was actually a video that you shared with me from PBS, and it was about basically how octopi change color and how that works, basically, like the process. And so they started out the video with this octopus that was like hooked onto a rock and you didn't see it at all. And then all of a sudden it just shot off the rock and like there was an octopus magically. Like it was crazy. And then later in that short video, I think it was like a 5 or 10 minute video, but it had a cuttlefish that was trying to match the camouflage pattern of a checkerboard. And so it was a pretty small little cuttlefish, but it was really interesting that it was trying to mimic this pattern. So I don't know. It was really interesting. And it was just really, I don't know, something that you don't see every day with that kind of like camouflage. So
yeah, definitely. And the checkerboard, I guess that doesn't happen in nature. Yeah, it was.
And it was doing, I mean, it was a pretty good job for a pattern that's so like harsh and stark. Mm-hmm. Like I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah, it was doing a good job.
Yeah.
Poor little guy.
Yeah. But what's the strangest thing that you found?
The strangest was when watching Blue Planet 2, and I was, I guess, half watching it because I was sitting with the dogs, and there was an octopus being hunted by a shark. And so they said that David Attenborough was pretty pleased that they got this on film. At first, the octopus started out holding seashells up to itself to hide, and that was kind of a new take on hiding and, you know, trying to not be seen. But the shark was kind of aware something was up and swimming around smelling things, you know, not like a bloodhound, but it was, you know, around. What happens next is the gig is up, the octopus swims and hides in a little crevice, and the shark finds it and like drags it out of its little crevice, got it in the mouth. Next thing you know, there are tentacles coming out the gills of the shark. I was just like, this is crazy. So, and it took me kind of a while to process what I'd just seen, because I talked to you that night when it was like hitting me. I'm like,
you sent me a text and you were like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it's, and it was just something we were watching. And I was like, whoa, not part of research really. The shark did let the octopus go because it couldn't breathe. It squirted out some ink and off it went. There's the argument I think Dad was making, saying something about the instinctive nature of creatures and animals. And, you know, what I think in humans, I've heard it. What is it like? It's like what's handed down through your biology, like a knowing.
A collective unconscious?
Maybe, or I can't think of the name. Dad was using some other name. It's kind of like what the creatures have learned that comes inherently, because I believe these guys are born and they kind of go do their thing, don't they?
I think so,
kind of like sharks. They're like off they go.
Yeah.
In that video, they show some little sea dragons too that are born and they go off and eat their shrimp and do their thing. So they're really cute. So anyway, so that was craziness, seeing that octopus fighting the shark. It showed such intelligence, whether it was that handed down knowledge or, you know, just instinctive nature or intelligence, which they say cephalopods are super smart.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think was blowing my mind, as far as it's showing the octopus understands how the shark is breathing and knows how to get through the gills, you know, how it works in the shark, you know, where the, you know, so to speak, like humans have lungs, the, I guess just the thought process, if it was a conscious effort, that just is like, wow, you know. But you can see them making a conscious effort quite a bit with the camouflaging, like you mentioned with the cuttlefish. And
mm-hmm.
Have you seen the, probably not, I think it's in the same episode, there's some cuttlefish and there's a small male that's competing with a big male.
I don't know.
Yeah. And so they, it pretends it's a female. So, and then when he gets by the girl, when the girl doesn't want to mate with the big one anymore, so she's displaying the right color for that. And then the little guy comes in and then he displays that he doesn't want to mate either. And then they do. It's just like, wow. Okay. And then the little male goes off. And so David Attenborough was like, he's got to do this through trickery.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So yeah, that was a little crazy. This show may be a little disjointed. We'll try and keep it running in a cohesive line, but there was so much research to be pulled together. So, like, I'm taking an art history class right now, and along those lines, I found a mosaic in Pompeii that shows an octopus fighting a lobster. That goes back to the times of Pompeii, you know, pre-volcano, cloud of ash, all that. So there's art portraying this from a long time ago, like Minoan jugs, Roman mosaics, and still you search Google images and the Kraken or octopus, or you see like tons of modern artists are still completely on board with creating new and fascinating fantasy art.
Totally.
I looked up if artists or people writing had used octopus or squid ink, and I couldn't find anybody using it.
It does seem a little weird, though, that they wouldn't have used it if, you know,
if they it was part managed of it, yeah.
to catch an octopus or a squid. Like, it seems like something that would have been used. And
yeah, and looking up ink, I mean, that's almost like a sub-episode we could do for the Patreon or whatever, or just because it's not haunted ink. But it's, you know, if we did the ink, it was coming from other things than animal. They said that the octopus or squid ink was to dilute. So, I mean, it could have been concentrated, but for modern times, like, or that sounds so pompous. For today, there's recipes. If you look up octopus or squid ink, they put it in like noodle dishes or with the squid or the octopus. You gotta wonder, do they end up with blue lips or it's
just like. That seems like dangerous territory, like when little kids get into markers and it's just everywhere. Like, could you imagine Grandpa Henry, the way he ate spaghetti?
Yeah, he really enjoyed some of that stuff. He was so serious the rest of the time.
Uh-huh. Okay, so here's a rundown of what we're talking about this time. We're going to cover what exactly is the Kraken, what are octopi, and how do they feature in lore and in reality, how deep do they live, the biology of octopi, and then also we're going to cover what is a squid, and again with how does it feature in lore and in reality, and how deep does it live, and also its biology as well. We're also going to cover which is bigger in real life.
We've been covering biology and ancient folklore and from Africa to Scandinavia. So it's a lot of information that we've been pulling together. So it should hopefully be a pretty interesting podcast. But I've found some of the time the cameos and things of squid and octopus. I found like in reading that 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, I believe the squid or the pack of squid, as we talked about, the squid on the cover is an octopus. And I'm like, wait a minute. It seems like that happens fairly often, that the artist is either not in the loop about what a squid is or not told, you know, like
yeah.
The sea creature is the squid, not an octopus. So, yeah, so that'll be interesting. We can bring some up as we go.
And then we're also going to cover where do they all live? And how does this work with the stories that we're going to bring up, and how do they tie in?
Okay, I'll start with that little bit on the Pacific octopus.
Okay.
So Wikipedia talked about the Pacific giant octopus as a large marine cephalopod belonging to the genus Enteroctopus. Did I say that right? Enteroctopus? Genus Enteroctopus. Its spatial distribution includes... Spatial, I guess, being where it lives, includes the coastal North Pacific, along California, Oregon, Washington, British Columbia, Alaska, Russia, Japan, and the Korean Peninsula. So that's what Wikipedia says about where the Pacific giant octopus lives. We've seen them on trips when we go through aquariums and that. Pretty cool to see them. And they're red, usually, or red-orange. Mm-hmm. And they say the mass is a normal size is about 33 pounds. That's pretty specific. So
yeah.
30 to 35 pounds. Lifespan is 3 to 5 years. And I read off the GeorgiaAquarium.org, they said that a female giant Pacific octopus can lay between 18,000 to 100,000 eggs.
That's crazy.
Boom. It's like, wow. I also read off FactZoo that it's probably the world's largest octopus. That's a nice asterisk. And they say one individual specimen was recorded weighing 157 pounds.
My gosh, that's huge.
Claims have been made of up to 600 pounds, 272 kilograms, which is just like, really? So they did get a specimen recorded at the 157, though. The arm span, they said, was between 14 and 30 feet. So that's pretty huge. So we'll keep that in mind as we go forward and we're trying to figure out which one's the biggest creature or animal.
Mm-hmm.
So are they animals or fish or just they're cephalopods, right?
I think they're their own thing. Yeah.
Marine life.
Yeah, marine life. That's perfect.
Okay, great.
I can do the samples of art if you want.
Okay, sure. It's tied into your thing a little bit. So
with Pierre, my good friend Pierre.
Pierre, it's on Instagram, so yeah.
We're going to run you through a few samples of art that have octopi as the subject matter. The Colossal Octopus, a pen and wash watercolor illustration by naturalist Pierre Denis de Montfort in 1801. He lived from 1766 to 1820. He researched if gigantic octopi existed. Sperm whales eat squid, but when an 8-meter tentacle was found in the mouth of a sperm whale, that's what caught his attention. Among his works was the Histoire naturelle générale et peculière des mollusques, which is 1801 to 1802. He claimed some British warships that had disappeared were due to giant octopus attacks, which wasn't so, and that really ended up being a blow to his career. I'm not sure that nobody could be like, he's kidding, or he's making it up, right? What did happen to the ships? Was it a battle? I found 4 ships listed on the maritime disasters for the 18th century on Wikipedia for Great Britain for 1782, and we're not really sure what did happen to them. I hate it when people overuse this word, but sadly, he died poor and starving.
Him trying to claim that it was like giant beasts taking down these warships, that completely, like, took his credibility away.
Totally ruined it.
Yeah, and then the poor guy died just miserable, it sounds like.
It's awful. While the cryptozoological colossal octopus may not have been a real creature, although octopi can grow really large, we know there are 2 real squids that have been documented that might fit the bill.
Why would it seem like a kraken-sized octopus doesn't work? How big does an octopus get? Okay, that's the question. We're still, 33-foot-long arm span. Britannica.com, back in the day, you've seen those, right? The encyclopedias grandma had?
Totally.
Yeah, like taking up a full bookshelf. And now I think we switched over to Google as you were growing up and became really less heavy books to cart around. Anyway, Britannica.com states, octopus, plural octopuses or octopi, in general, any 8-armed cephalopod, octopod, mollusk of the order Octopoda. Octopuses vary greatly in size. The smallest, arborescens, is about 5 centimeters or 2 inches long, while the largest species may grow to 5.4 meters, 18 feet, in length and have an arm span of almost 9 meters, 30 feet. 18 feet is pretty decent for big octopus, and a 30-foot arm span seems big. We'll take a look at how the squid holds up to these guys. These guys are just, like, crazy smart.
They really are. I mean, it's that scene from Finding Nemo 2 where the octopus is sneaking around. That's totally legit. I mean, they're so smart.
There's stories of octopus climbing. I guess I can try and paraphrase it. I don't know if the fish were being dried or if there were fish you know, like almost like farming the fish just in areas. But the octopus would climb over the wall to get to the fish out of water. So I was like, what? And then it would also climb trees to get to the, you know, to get up and over.
That's insane.
So, yeah. So there, so if you Google that, there's stories out there about them getting around outside of water.
Holy moly.
Have you heard about the one in the aquarium that got out? And I believe it was able to get through the door.
Oh, yeah.
To the favorite fish it wanted to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, what the crap? And did you see on YouTube? Sorry, this is like a whole bunch of these. Did you see? There was an octopus that could get in. I think it was the aquarium. I don't know if it was in Vancouver where they were having that. There was a lady that was talking about the first time they were able to film the giant squid. But I've watched a bunch of other ones too. But the octopus went inside this, I don't know if it was a food trap or a food puzzle kind of thing. And it went inside, but then it only had a couple inches around to squish into. And it wasn't able to get into the inside box to get its food. So it got back out. But it was just this crazy amount of squishing into this little plastic box. So, I mean, I know they're not vertebrates, but it just still is just like, wow. So they can kind of go wherever they want. Have you ever eaten squid?
No, okay. I haven't. The closest I've gotten is eel, and I think that's the closest I ever want to get.
Ew. Yeah, I was on a date, and they called it calamari, and I was like, okay, what is it? You know, and it was very chewy, and I was like, what are we doing? But he had ordered the dish and he thought it was pretty funny that I didn't know I was eating squid.
Yeah.
I don't eat squid. It's just not my thing. So
yeah.
No offense to anybody that likes it. But also in learning how smart these animals are, it's just like, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
If you're curious about how the ink comes out of the octopus or squid, there's a funnel and there's a jet of water with which it uses for propulsion, I believe. And they can squirt the ink out through there and water. And so that creates the cloud of the ink behind them when they swim off. The science line at the University of California, Santa Barbara, states that these pseudomorphs or false bodies confuse the predator and allow the squids to escape. So these pseudomorphs are that big cloud of ink left hanging in the water.
And those clouds are supposed to kind of look like the squid, right?
Because they are about the size of them when you see them.
Mm-hmm.
In 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, translated by F.P. Walter and illustrated by Milo Winter, ultimately written by Jules Verne, I have a reading to share. In essence, over a period of time, several ships had encountered an enormous thing at sea, a long spindle-shaped object, sometimes giving off a phosphorescent glow, infinitely bigger and faster than any whale. In every big city, the monster was the latest rage. They sang about it in the coffee houses. They ridiculed it in the newspapers. They dramatized it in the theaters. The tabloids found it a fine opportunity for hatching all sorts of hoaxes. In those newspapers, short of copy, you saw the reappearance of every gigantic imaginary creature from Moby Dick, that dreadful white whale from the high Arctic regions, to the stupendous kraken whose tentacles could entwine a 500-ton craft and drag it into the ocean depths. They even reprinted reports from ancient times, the views of Aristotle and Pliny, accepting the existence of such monsters. then the Norwegian stories of Bishop Pontoppidan, the narratives of Paul Egede, and finally the reports of Captain Harrington, whose good faith is above suspicion, in which he claims he saw, while aboard the Castilian in 1857, one of those enormous serpents that until then had frequented only the seas of France's old extremist newspaper, The Constitutionalist. As we end part one of our research on the Kraken, we've only dipped our toes in the water with the art of the Kraken, squid, and octopus. There's more cephalopod art swimming your way in the next episode. Find out about the story told by sailors near Angola. Check out Instagram to see an octopus wrestling a lobster on a mosaic found in Pompeii. You'll also see a giant octopus painted on an amusement park's terror ride mural with more art to come. Which cephalopod is the biggest creature of the deep? That's been recorded, that is? Where did the story of the Kraken originate? Well, grab yourself a Danish and coffee for the next episode as you listen to the watery tale shared in Scandinavian folklore, which is said to be at the root of the legend. Okay, so as we're finishing up, here's a couple of quick news items. We're now on Patreon, and as an independent podcast, you can help us directly. The money from Patreon will help us to buy books and research materials and help us expand our podcast host subscription so we can share the podcast with more people. We're also on Twitter and Instagram, so if you're on there, be sure to follow us. It would be great to interact there, so please feel free to send us replies and notes on our social media. Or you can email us directly at whisperingcontact@gmail.com. It would be great to hear from you. Thanks so much for joining us as we dive deeper in search of the Kraken. Be sure to find us on Apple Podcasts and subscribe so you won't miss an episode. Also, if you'd be willing to give us a rating, that would help other people decide if they'd like to listen to the podcast. And hopefully you're enjoying them. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for listening.